Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And you'll find this on page 623 of the Pew Bible. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this, and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed him by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Go and do the same."
Hello, nice to be with you again. I've brought too many bits and pieces, but what to do? Thank you. So it's good to be back with you. I enjoy coming here. And I thought I would... Well, it's good to come back to St. Andrew's, because this is where a cross all started. I was trying to find a decent picture of Richard Cook on the internet, and they're rubbish. There's one of him cut off at the head, and it's showing a lady. I don't know what it's all about, but there's nothing, yeah. So we're going to, I've got a PowerPoint, and I've got some visual aids. I've got my hat. I think we're almost ready to go. But I was thinking about Richard. I'm going to start with a Mullah Nasruddin story. Mullah, can you go on to the next one? Yeah. Yeah, Mullah Nasruddin is one of my favorite characters. I nearly gave you a whole puppet show, The Good Samaritan, starring Mullah Nasruddin, but I hadn't quite got there. So, and you know, you can only do so much in a sermon. But Mullah Nasruddin is famous within the Muslim world, so I use his stories a lot. And on to the next one. And there's a story of the mullah going into the mosque to preach. And he gets up, they have this pulpit, a mimbar, and he gets up there to preach. He says, "Do you know what I'm going to talk about today?" And the people say, no. He says, well, if you don't know what I'm meant to be talking about, I'm off. And he goes. So the next week, because he's got a series of three, I'm only coming once, but he's got three. And he gets up and he says, do you know what I'm going to be talking about today? So the people all say, yes. He says, well, if you already know, there's nothing I can tell you. And he goes. And the people decide they're going to fix him this time. So the mullah goes back to the mosque and he said, good morning, assalamu alaikum. Do you know what I'm going to talk about today? And half of them say yes, and the other half say no. So he says, well, those of you who know can tell those of you who don't. And he goes. I actually think there's an awful lot in that story about pedagogy, about how do we share. It's not about someone like me coming to talk to you. It's actually what do you know and sharing together. That's the shift. And that's part of the shift that's behind Mahabba and behind a cross. The mullah may appear again. I'm not sure. If you go to the next one, a little bit about me. I was involved as a mission partner, my wife and I, in Pakistan. That's me, younger me. And with a friend, Joel, who was a recovering addict. And our ministry in Pakistan, in Karachi, through the Church Mission Society, was to help addicts to recover and to find new life. If you go to the next one. I'd been to see Jackie Pullinger's work, and we modeled it very much on that. And we worshiped together. We looked at God's word together. We witnessed, people shared their testimony, and we asked God to do the wonders. We prayed for people for healing. It was very dynamic and very exhausting and an amazing period. But God turned up and many people were helped. And we then went to Peshawar and did similar work because it wasn't under a church umbrella, but we did NGO work in Pakistan, in Peshawar, into Afghanistan. And then after 2.5 years, so we were 12 and a half years in Pakistan, I was invited by CMS to take up a role back in UK. And that was a regional director. And we were looking for a base. We'd had a house in London. And we started writing. Actually, it's my wife's mother who organized everything. And she got us into Woking. And she knew this church leader who used to be at their church in Cheltenham, or John did, her husband. And we contacted Malcolm. Malcolm very kindly sent a local newspaper, which was fascinating when you're in Pakistan, reading about this town called Woking from a local newspaper. And we eventually came back to the UK and settled in Woking and went to Christchurch, where Malcolm was. The two factors that really drew us to Woking was the mosque and the Muslim community here in Woking. Incredibly unique. There are Muslim communities all around, but the oldest purpose-built mosque in the country, in Woking, was a key factor. And the other one was the railway. It's quicker to Waterloo from Woking than it is from Reading. So that's where I was based. That's a bit of background. But after being with CMS, I started to, when I finished with them, 2012, I got involved in Mahabba Network. And the thing I loved about Mahabba was this emphasis on loving all Muslims. I saw far too much attacking Muslims. We had centuries of that through the Crusades and this polarized oppositional stance that Christianity and Islam have taken historically, where we bash one another. And they're both missionary faiths. So there's a big clash. It's been called the Clash of Civilizations. And that clash was really, I felt, unhelpful. And I'd met many Muslims in Pakistan who were really, really nice people. And the Afghans were even nicer. I mean, they're wonderful people that we met. And they totally changed my image of Muslims. And that's given that there were Taliban around and there was some really pretty horrific stuff. But ordinary people who were devout and who were seeking truth. And one of the things I liked about Mahaba is this picture on the next one. This inverted triangle. And I think mission agencies have always worked on this model that few people know everything and they go and do it. That's the image that churches have. And the churches are there to support them. They pray, they give money, they write to them, all that. But those people go and do it. And that has infiltrated the whole church. We leave it to the experts. And I loved the way that Mahaba had turned that on its head. And the specialists, the experts, were at the bottom. And their job was to facilitate and build up ordinary Christians, everyday man on the top of the Clapham bus, whatever, everyday believers, to do the ministry. We overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and love not our lives unto death. It's not shrinking away. And the whole purpose of the ministries within the church are to build up the saints for the works of service. That means we're all in it. And it's about ordinary people engaging with their neighbor. And that, for me, was the real strength of Mahaba. It's part of a cross. A cross is part of Mahaba. And these were just quickly values that Mahaba has stood for. Can you go on to the next one? Yeah. So, ordinary Christians involved in loving Muslims, growing believers, and it's done through persistent prayer and churches together in unity. That's what we aim for. Actually, you can skip the next one. Let's leave that. And go to the one after that. Yeah, go on to the next one. Thank you. And Mahaba does this through prayer and action. That's the summary of what Mahaba is all about, prayer and action. It's about praying, particularly around Ramadan and during fasting time, but praying for Muslim friends. We all have, especially in a place like Woking, there are Muslims that we know through work, through the school gate, through the NHS services, through, if you want a cab in Woking, you're going to meet a Muslim and they'll drive you to the airport or whatever. And that's a great time for a conversation. But I've found those have been wonderful opportunities. And if you go on to the next one, we'll just leave it there for a minute. That Shah Jahan Mosque has been part key. We've had opportunities to go and share with Muslims over iftar during Ramadan, where they break fast together. We've taken people on visits as part of their training on engaging Muslims. And I must say that this work, in fact, all that I'm doing now is Richard's fault. So I came to a place where the ground had been prepared by someone who dedicated his life to engagement. He wanted to be involved in mission. He didn't get called abroad. He got called to Britain. And he engaged with the other here in Britain. And he was the interfaith advisor for the diocese. He'd helped to set up a cross and was involved in running that on the board. And Woking People of Faith, and he was involved in that. And I'm now doing all three of them. So thank you, Richard. It was a real commitment in my heart to continue that good work. And there are some wonderful people around. The work in Mahaba, across, is mainly done by Riz. She coordinates everything. and puts things in place. And we have a committee. Fiona's our treasurer. She loves it so much. but we are so grateful. And this is our home base. This is our address. You have provided facilities for us to use the prayer breakfast. Every term we have a prayer breakfast here in the cafe, different people speaking, and we pray around themes connected to sharing with our neighbour. Woking People of Faith, I will mention, because Across is very much involved in the prayer breakfast, Mahabha meal we run maybe a couple of times a year, where we will invite someone to speak. And between three courses, there's two opportunities to talk and then questions. So we have a really good evening drilling down. The next one we're going to have is in July, when Nusrat, a believer from a Muslim background, great experience, she will be sharing her story on the 17th of July, on a Friday at St. Paul's. We'll send information out. But that's a really good thing to come along to. Good food and someone talking and good people to share with. What's not to like? In fact, we have a saying in Across that meeting without eating is cheating. So we take every opportunity to eat together and become companions, where we share bread together. The training that was mentioned, Head, Heart, Hand, I'll come on to that in a second. I'll do it now. If you go on to the next, there it is, Head, Heart, Hand. We're told to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, yeah, and with all your mind. And we try to do a brief introductory engagement course for people involving those three. We share something about understanding Islam. We very much focus on the heart and developing the right attitude to our Muslim neighbors. And then what can we do? Some practice. How can we get involved hands-on? So go to the next one. The last training we did was in Naphill. And there you have Dr. Naqvi and Imam Hashmi. So we invited them to come and tell us. I could probably do a reasonable summary of what Muslims believe, but that's a Christian perspective on what Muslims believe. It is far better to hear about someone's faith, about another faith, from someone who believes in that faith. I don't know if you've experienced people telling you what Christians believe, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, no, we don't. No, I wouldn't say it that way. And it gets really quite uncomfortable. And I think it's really important to hear, not from the horse's mouth, but to hear direct from believers. And it's been wonderful having people like Imam Hashmi at the mosque. And the next picture is Dr. Naqvi. So we have a Sunni, the mosque here is Sunni, and Dr. Naqvi is part of the Shia community. I need to finish soon. I haven't really got started. I'll come back for part two. There's a few things I just want to share briefly. So one of the things, next picture, one of the things I put, next picture, that's Dr. Naqvi. One of the things I really think is important is welcoming the stranger. And this is the flight to Egypt, pictures by Herchi. And that's really important. I'm going to whiz through these. Next one. And the traditional enemies of the Jews were the Samaritans. The Assyrians had come in the north, bad blood they called it. So the north was polluted as far as the Jews were concerned. And the south were the good boys. We had bad north, good south. We never have that anywhere else, do we? But that was the sort of dynamic going on. They were bad, we are good. And it was entrenched. And this whole thing with the Samaritans, I just very, very briefly mention these passages. There's one occasion when Jesus, they're going to Jerusalem, and the Samaritan village rejects them, and the two disciples, James and John, want to call down fire from heaven. Shall we blast them, Lord? And Jesus gets angry and rebukes them. It's a very strong rebuke he gives them. And that reaction is around today. Mute them, get rid of them, block them out, do something. That is such a human gut reaction, and it's dreadful. Jesus rebukes it. Foolish traveler, come back to him. Go on another one. Yes, sorry, that was the fire from heaven. We need to sink. Next one, that's the, come on to him in a minute, the foolish traveler. The Good Samaritan story. Next picture. When we do the head heart training, we go into this a lot. We look at these passages in groups and really get into it. Next picture. Yeah, and the faithful foreigner. The 10 lepers were healed. One came back. He was a Samaritan. He came to thank Jesus and followed him. Next one, the first fruits. The conversation at the well, one of the best conversations in Scripture. I love it. And that Samaritan woman, "Sir, give me water that I may not be thirsty." And then, just put the next picture on. "Come see the man who told me everything." She goes back to her village, and you get the start of a mission movement there among the Samaritans. And this one, next one, is the false accusations. The woman's accused of adultery. At the same time, Jesus is accused of being a Samaritan and being demonized. Really interesting. They say he's a Samaritan, he's got a demon. Jesus rebukes them for the demonic accusation. Says nothing about the Samaritan one. I think he's quite proud of that. He didn't mind being associated with the Samaritans. He'd so identified with them, I believe. And just this last one, the fire from heaven. There was a time when fire came from heaven. It's called Pentecost. And at that time, that's the time when the Great Commission to go into all the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Samaria was very much on the agenda. So fascinating. Just say, next picture. I love Hertie, but I end up with my favorite, Van Gogh, and this picture of the Van Gogh helping the Samaritan. The one thing I want to say about this, which is probably the most famous story, is that traveller was walking on the wrong road. He was going on a dangerous road. It was almost inevitable that he'd be attacked on that road. And he's left by his own people. They do nothing. The religious leaders do nothing. And they leave him. And it's the Samaritan that comes and helps him. The last one you would expect. That's the whole point that Jesus was making. And I think if we're involved in following Jesus, we will find ourselves on vulnerable roads, on places that are dangerous. It's dangerous to cross the barrier, sometimes dangerous to cross the street and meet your neighbor when everyone else is shutting them out. So it takes guts to reach out and cross those borders. Jesus talks about loving your enemies. It becomes very practical. It's about being vulnerable and being rescued. That's a really important point. Where is God in this story of the Good Samaritan? He shows up in the form of the Samaritan, not through the religious institutions they were used to, in the form of the other, the enemy, the one who's like you but very different from you. And that's where he turns up. Jesus, in this story, turns everything upside down. Yeah. Let's finish. Do you go on to the next one? I'll leave that. That's turning up in. Next one, freedom to share our faith, yeah. I believe if you're going to get involved with people of other faith, we need to be deeply rooted in our own so that we can be open to other. And I'll finish with this next picture about a word that comes in Scripture. Yeah, next one. There's no xenophobia in the Bible. We're used to the word xenophobia, hatred, fear of the other. There is a beautiful word in Scripture, which is philoxenia. It's a word for hospitality, loving the stranger, loving the other. And we're called to offer hospitality, and thereby entertaining angels, it says, to reach out in hospitality. And hospitality is showing kindness to the stranger. Often involves food, hallelujah, but it's an opportunity to engage with people. And that's something each one of us can do. We can change our attitude to being kind. Filio is kindness, friendship, befriending the other, the stranger, the one who's not like us. And I believe that's what Mahabba is doing, that's what the cross is doing. And that's what I believe God calls us to do. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for this story of the Good Samaritan. We pray that we would go and do likewise. Help us to be vulnerable. Help us to be people who are prepared to walk on roads where others don't go, and help us to receive the hospitality of others and be prepared to give hospitality to others. Help us this week to encounter someone we've not really engaged with. Give us an opportunity to talk to and to share with a stranger. We pray this in your name. Amen.